Whether you're here in our physical location, whether you're watching as part of our online community, we are so excited that you're with us today. And I know I say that every single week, but you need to know that we have a robust community of people to watch every single week on our YouTube channel. Some of y'all are watching from work today. Don't get fired, please, because of this. Some of y'all are coming home from vacation. You know, I have friends that are watching today, Scott and Kathy. I'm coming to see you in the hospital in just a little bit. And it's been incredible just to see what God is doing through this church, not only here in person, but last weekend, I had a buddy that was watching, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus on Palm Sunday. And 2 days later, he went to rehab. And he was in the chat last Sunday saying, "Hey, Pastor Michael, I'm here. I'm watching from Florida. I love you so, so much, Sean. We can't wait till you're back here with us together." But today, I want to share with you just kind of what God's been putting on my heart. I've been making my way through the New Testament book of Hebrews. If you're looking for something to read this week, man, go to Hebrews. It's an incredible reminder all throughout its 13 chapters. It talks about things like this world is not our home. For those of us who know Jesus, this is just a temporary home. One day, God is preparing a place for us, and we're going to be there with him for all eternity. It goes on to say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we should be living a lifestyle of praise, a lifestyle of gratitude. It goes on to just give us all kinds of great information about how we should be loving one another. And we're unsure of who the actual author is. Biblical scholars are divided about it. Some say it is the Apostle Paul. Others say that it's Luke, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Others believe that it's Apollos or Barnabas, two early leaders in the church. But regardless of who it is, the author really gets to the end, and in chapter 13 starts to land the plane with some of his final reminders, some final things that we need to remember in our lives all these years later. In Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.'" See, last week we kicked off a brand new series called Neverland. We're spending 5 weeks talking about the promises of God that we see in Scripture. If you missed week one, I want to encourage you to go back to our YouTube channel, get caught up there. But in week two, I love it so much that there's one verse, but really two promises. What are they? "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." See, one of the things that you'll find is when you're reading through the book of Hebrews, so often it will paraphrase, it will quote, it will refer back to the Old Testament. When you're reading through the book of Hebrews, one thing that you will find is there are 40 direct quotations that are taken out of the Old Testament. As you read through, you will see references to things like creation. You will see God's promise of expansion to Abraham. You will see some of the writings of Isaiah and Jeremiah. You will see some of the words of David. And one of the things that's so beautiful is that when you read through Hebrews chapter 13 right here, they're actually referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 is an incredible passage. It's all around this idea of transition. The book of Deuteronomy really is a collection of laws. It talks about tithing. It talks about idolatry. It talks about living a holy lifestyle. It talks about what to do with your kids when they're disobedient. I kid you not. Sometimes when my kids get disappointed with Rach and I, when they get grounded, I say, "Hey, we could be back in Old Testament times. Can I tell you, when kids were mistreating their parents back in Old Testament times, they got stoned to death. You're just grounded to the basement watching Stranger Things for the 17th time. Calm down, bro. Not that bad." But see, Deuteronomy chapter 31 is all around this guy named Moses. Moses was a prophet. Moses was the leader of the nation of Israel. Moses, if you're unfamiliar with him, he was the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. He was the man that God gave the Ten Commandments to. He was an incredible leader. But what you find is that his time is coming to an end. You see, he has some final words. He comes and he says, man, before I go, before you enter the promised land, there's just a few last minute things that you need to know. And really the crux of Moses' teaching in Deuteronomy is he said, hey, learn from the past. Learn from the generations that came before you. Can I tell you, if you're not learning, you're losing. Can I tell somebody, if you're not learning from your mistakes, if you're not learning from a cycle that your family has been in for generations, if you're not learning, you're losing. And Moses says, hey, learn from the generations that came before you and live a lifestyle that's marked out to God. Live a lifestyle where you are led by God every single step of the way. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, here are some of Moses' final words. He says, starting in verse 1, when Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I'm now 120 years old and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I've commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all of Israel watched, he said to them, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. See, you need to know that if you're joining us over the last few weeks, over the last few months, you need to know what the vision for Riverside in 2024 is. It's around really three key areas. It's rehabilitation, it's recovery, and it's raising. Rehabilitation is around this idea that this physical location is almost 100 years old. And one of the things that we found over the last few years is that the exterior is kind of falling apart. Mortar, gravel, bricks are getting loose. And so last summer, we started phase one of a tuck pointing project. And by God's grace, by your generosity, we were able to finish the front of our structure, the front of our physical location, completely debt-free. And I'm so grateful. Can I say thank you again? And so this year in 2024, we want to move on to phase two, which is this side, our guest parking lot, where you see the fridge. And you need to know that we are well on track. We are scheduled to begin that project at the end of this month. And we're excited. And it's going to be, man, there's going to be some construction that's going around. There's going to be some things we're going to have to pivot a little bit. But can I already tell you, we've already paid off that project completely debt-free before it even starts. Thank you again. Thank you for your generosity. See, it's all about rehabilitation, but it's also about recovery. We're believing in the second half of this year, we are gonna launch Celebrate Recovery. For men and women, not only in this church, but all throughout the community that are dealing with hangups, that are dealing with addictions. We're gonna do a biblically based approach to recovery and addiction. And if you can be praying alongside of us what that looks like, we're delayed right now because we need a leader, a volunteer leader that can oversee what we believe is going to be a growing ministry. So if you could be putting that on your prayer list and you can be praying alongside of it, we would so be so, so grateful with us. But the third thing that we're looking at this year is this whole idea of raising. We want to raise up new leaders. We want to take existing leaders and we want to raise them into even greater potential, greater leadership, greater platforms. And we've been doing that behind the scenes all year long. At the very first Sunday of the year, I met with all of our ministry leaders and I just laid out where we're going in 2024 and the expectations for you as ministry heads in leading that. Last Sunday, I got to sit after the 11 o'clock service with Megan Okin, who oversees our Connect groups. And we had all the Connect group leaders in one room, and we just kind of poured into them. And Megan shared vision going forward. I'm going to tell you, next week, you're going to start to see weekly videos from new Connect groups that we're launching here at Riverside. Part of our vision for this year is to get so many of you connected where it's not just a Sunday morning thing, it's a 24/7 thing. That you're finding people to do life with, to grow closer to Jesus with. In the fall, I'm teaching a 7-week Wednesday night class all about leadership. All what it looks like to be men and women of God, because can I tell you all, you're all leaders. You're all leading your family. You're all leading your kids. You're all leading businesses, your classrooms. Every single one of us are leaders, and we want to continue to raise us into leadership. And I think, man, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. There's already so many great lessons included in just these handful of verses. What does Moses say when you go back in here? It says, good leaders, what does Moses do? Good leaders listen to God. Moses was in tune with what God was speaking to him. Good leaders know when it's time to go. Moses said, my time is up. I've got to move on. Good leaders, what do? They encourage the people that they're leaving behind. He turns to the Israelites and say, hey, you're going to be in good hands. Man, love on Joshua. Submit to Joshua just like you submitted to me. But then Moses turns to Joshua himself, and good leaders empower the people that are coming in behind them. I felt that since day one with Pastor John. When we stepped into this leadership role, I was empowered in my leadership, not just then, but can I tell you, almost 4.5 years later, there is no one who's more on my side. There's nobody who's praying for me more. There's nobody that's encouraging me more. There's nobody who texts me more on a Sunday afternoon and says, I love you, I'm proud of you. That was a word from God. See, that's what good leaders do. That's what Moses was. Moses was a great leader. See, I learned a lot of times in culture today, there are lots of people that want to lead, not a lot of people that want to be led. Lots of y'all want to lead. Not a lot of people in culture today want to be led. Can I tell you, before you become a good leader, you first have to become a good follower. You first have to get a posture of submission. You first have to get to this place where I want to be like Joshua. I want to come and I want to follow an incredible leader. See, Joshua, you may not know it. You go on to read his story. Joshua goes on and he leads for 40 years. But what you may not know about Joshua, Joshua served for 40 years before that. Dare I say, your livelihood is so often connected to your servanthood. Start to serve, serve well, and watch what God will do. See, Joshua didn't serve for a platform, but he served his way into a platform. See, you want to be a great leader. Lots of y'all want to be leaders. Lots of people come up to me. I want to be a leader. I got leadership. I've read all the John Maxwell books. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, bro, where are you serving? And they start to say all the things they're really busy with. But if you want to be a great leader, you first have to become a great servant. You first have to be, it's quiet, I'm just going to keep moving on today. See, transitions are hard. Transitions are hard. Some of you may be in transition just like Moses and Joshua were. Some of you may be transitioning out of a relationship, and it's really, really difficult. Some of you may be transitioning into a marriage, and maybe you're blending your families. Maybe both of you have had kids from previous relationships, and now you're blending them together. Maybe some of you are going through a transition where you have an empty nest and your last child moved out, and now what do we do with our lives? Some of you are maybe transitioning in a season of retirement, and you're used to working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and now what do I do with all my spare time? We're in a season of transition around here in this house. My boy Jay Lane's back here, and he's with us for about another week and a half, and he's transitioning into a new role. I'm excited. He's going to a construction company. He ain't building anything, yo. Have you seen those arms? He ain't building. I see you. No, sit down. Sit down, bro. Got nothing. It's like me building something. It's a beautiful but sad time, bittersweet, I guess, for us, because I love Justin. Justin is stepping into his purpose. God's given him some incredible gifts and talents, and he's going to be a little bit more in the creative side of things. Man, his photography business is just exploding, and I'm going to miss him so, so much. We're going to honor him in a couple weeks on this platform, because Justin's like one of those guys. We've done life, I think. We've done ministry for maybe 6 years now, and he's one of those guys when we're in a meeting or we're out in the parking lot or out in the front porch, like something crazy will happen, and Justin's my dude. Like, Justin and I, we will just, like, look at each other, and he knows my WTF face, like, what the Faith Hill just happened right there. What the Faith Hill. What the Faith. Don't quote me wrong, yo. What the Faith Hill is going on right now? I'm going to miss him. See, transitions are difficult, but can I tell you, God is devoted. I don't know what you're walking through today. Transitions are difficult, but God is devoted. And maybe today you say, I'm not going through a transition, but dare I say there's troubles. Maybe there's trials. Maybe you're walking through tragedy right now. Can I remind you what the Word of God says? I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Whatever you're walking through in real time, that's God's word. That's God's promise that he's speaking over your life. See, Moses dies and Joshua picks up the leadership mantle in Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I've given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. See, today I want to preach from this place of three chapters and three promises of God. If you're taking notes today in this space, the first thing I want you to write down, first thing that we see in Scripture is the promise of God's presence. He says to Joshua, I will be with you as I was with Moses. See, you break those few words apart. Let's look at the first part. I will be with you. I will be with you. What was that? It was the promise of God's comfort. He says, I will be with you. You're not going alone. I will be with you. See, when our oldest son was about 4 or 5 years old, before he was grounded to our basement watching Stranger Things in Outer Banks and not getting stoned. I don't even mean that. If you think I'm going somewhere else, I don't mean that, yo. And he was 4 or 5. Okay, this is really going off track. You thought it was going off track before when I walked up with these ridiculous pants, and you're like, you don't go see these at the Blackhawks game today. I'm always going to wear something stupid like this. And when he was about 4 or 5 years old, he got annoyed with Rach and I, and he says, I'm leaving. I'm running away. I'm walking to Grandma's house. My mom lived about a 5-minute walk away, and we're like, okay, go, bro. We're really good parents. And he got his backpack, and he took the backpack, and he put a basketball in there. He put his blankie. Don't let him fool you. He's 17. He's still got that blankie in his room right now. Don't say anything to him, because I get in trouble on the ride home. He got a blankie. He puts his blankie in there, and he goes, and he puts Woody from Toy Story. He puts Woody in there. He gets, like, a whole box of fruit snacks. I don't know how long the bro's going to be gone. And I watched him. We're standing there, and he's just walking down the block, and he turns the corner on the way, and he didn't go very far. I called my mom up later, and I said, hey, Liam was going to walk to your house. And she goes, how dare you let that young boy walk all the way here? And I go, I wasn't going to let him because I'm a good dad. What was I doing the entire time? I was watching my boy. I was invested in my son. I was going to protect him every single step of the way. I didn't let him get out of my sight. Why do I tell you all that? Because that's the way God sees you. God is watching out for you. God has intentionally designed you. God is intentionally sending you into this season. He's protecting you. Can I tell you today, you will never be where God is not. You will never be where God is not. He's with you every single step of the way. He says, I'm with you. And then he goes on to say, I'm with you as I was with Moses. It's not just a sign of comfort. It's actually a sign of commitment. It's a sign of commitment. I'm going to be with you, Joshua, just as I was with Moses. See, Moses had some struggles. Moses at times was overwhelmed with the leadership mantle. There were so many times where the Israelites hated Moses. They complained to him. I love when you read about Moses because he was a great leader, but there were times he got angry. There were times as a leader he was overwhelmed. There's a time even where he says, God, if this is how you intend to treat me, just kill me now. One of the lowest points of Moses' leadership. But you see that God was committed to Moses. He says, I will be with you as I was with Moses. What does that mean? Is that it says that God spoke to Moses face to face, as he did a friend. He said, I will be with you every single step of the way. I know you by name. Every place you go, you will be perfectly fine. Can I tell you today that the same God who came close to comfort and commit to Joshua is the same God that wants to come close to you, and he's committed to comfort you every single step of the way. Believe that from a word from God today, even with a dude wearing a Jay-Z t-shirt, yo. Just let it go. Just let it go today. I don't know where we're going. I've lost track of this. It wasn't even in my notes, yo. God's promise in Deuteronomy. Yeah, that's where we're going. God's promise in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Remember what God says. I will destroy the nations living in the land, and I will hand over to you the people who live there. See, their success wasn't guaranteed because Moses left a great legacy. The Israelites' victory was not assured because Joshua was a great leader. Their victory was not assured because the Israelites were a great people. No, their victory was assured because they were being led by a great God. Every single step of the way that God was leading them, God was guiding them every single step of the way. See, your success is a direct result of your Savior. Don't get it twisted today. Your success is a direct result of your Savior. And some of y'all say, well, I've made the plans. I've worked really, really hard. Can I point you back to Proverbs 16:9 that says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Can I tell you, every single role I've ever held in my life was never what I thought it was gonna look like. My very first job at 15 years old was at Papa John's Pizza. I said I was never gonna work fast food. My mom is in here, she will attest. I was the kid that never liked to be outside because I didn't like to get my hands dirty. And there I was Friday night making 972 pepperoni pizzas every single night, hands filthy. Never where I thought I was going to be. Thank God he had more plans for me. Thank God I'm not 46 years old, still making pizzas 31 years later. Hallelujah. See, but God moved me on, and I went to college, and I graduated. And for 15 years of my life, I was a teacher. I was a third grade teacher. It's crazy because now some of my old third graders are a part of Riverside Community Church. It blows my mind. Every single Sunday, there's people that come in like, Mr. Richardson. I go, I haven't been called that in 7 years, sis. But I love that. And while I was teaching, God said, hey, and I want you to run for city council in Pekin. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, I want you to. And I'm like, I'm not into politics. In fact, I hate politics. I hate people that complain about politics and fight about politics. And he's like, no, I want you to be a light. And I was like, okay, Lord, I don't win. And I was a light for 4 years. I did four and I was out. I was like, okay, Lord, I committed to four and done. Let's move on. And then right around before that time I was done, God called me to full-time ministry. Never thought I was going to be on a church staff. Wasn't that kid that grew up and say, I want to be a pastor one day. No. That was the voice I used when I talked to God at seven. And I never thought that this is what it was going to look like. And even when I came on staff, there were no illusions that I was ever going to be standing on this platform as the lead pastor of Riverside Community Church. But there's something happens that when you give your life over to Jesus, when you fully submit everything to him, he exchanges our plans for his purpose. See, when you give everything over to the Lord, he will exchange our plans for his purpose time and time again. See, he says, I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to abandon you. See, when God's presence shows up, when you are led by the Holy Spirit, there are going to be two things that are evident in your life. Number one, the first thing that you're going to see is boldness. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you will be marked out by your boldness. See, when you go back into the text in Joshua chapter 1, three times over the course of four verses, what does God say? Be strong and courageous. What does that tell us? That Joshua must have been scared. Joshua must have been nervous. Joshua must have been sweating like I am at a 4th of July barbecue, yo. The Richardsons are a sweaty people. Pray for us. Joshua was overwhelmed. Joshua is in this place like, I don't know that I can even do it. But in verse 10, you see a shift. Look what it says. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. See, he says you're going to possess the land. What does possess the land mean? There's going to be conflict. There's going to be battles. In 3 days, I'm going to send you. Get ready. Can I tell you, that's the voice of God speaking to somebody today, and he's trying to tell you, get ready. I'm about to take you in a place you never expected to go. There's about to be new opportunities. There's about to be new adventures. There's about to be a new relationship in your life. If you would just rest and trust God every single step of the way, I know you're fearful, but can I tell you, God says he's going to remain faithful. I know you may be riddled with anxiety, but God says, I will never abandon you. I'm going to be with you every single step of the way as you continue to trust me. His presence leads to our peace. You pick up in verse 16, and this is the men and women, the Israelites. It says, they answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go whenever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death, so be strong and courageous. Do you see? Now, Joshua's men and women are now saying the same thing. They're like, bro, I know you're still a little bit nervous, but be strong and courageous. We're with you. See, when you are led by the Spirit of God, you will be defined by your boldness and you will be defined by your oneness. See, when you look at this, when you see their response to Joshua, when Joshua rallies them all around, we're about ready to go, get ready. What do they say? They say, whatever you ask, we will do it. Wherever you go, we will go. We will be obedient just like we were to Moses. See, they were marked out by commitment and devotion. Commitment and devotion to their leader. Commitment and devotion to the voice of God. Can I tell you, the church in 2024, Riverside Community Church, we've got to be marked out by our commitment to God and our devotion to one another. See, this is what we got to be as a church. We got to be encouraging one another. We've got to be forgiving one another. We've got to be generous with our time, our money, our resources with one another. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. See, if you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you will not make it in 2024. Do not. I'm telling you right now. There was something on my calendar this week, and I was dreading it, if I'm honest. I didn't want to go. It was with a group of people. And the whole time, the whole day, I was just praying, Holy Spirit, be in that room. Prepare that place. Why? Because what I found is that what happens is that the Holy Spirit, number one, helps. When you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit goes ahead of you. The Holy Spirit opens up your mouth. Sometimes the Holy Spirit shuts your mouth. Listen, I'm glad on those moments when the Holy Spirit opens my mouth and gives me the words to say, but dare I say, I'm even more grateful when the Holy Spirit shuts me up. See, the Holy Spirit helps us. And the Holy Spirit also heals us. When you get into an environment, when you get yourself into a situation, when you don't know what to do, can I tell you, when you rely on the Holy Spirit, he heals. He fixes situations. He goes ahead of you. He does things that you could never do in your own strength. See, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, this is Paul talking. He says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. See, can I tell you, we have 10 values that make up this church. One of them is we will be united as one church with one mission to serve one God. We're going to be united. That's who we're going to be. In 2024, we're going to be united. We're going to be devoted to Jesus, but we're going to be devoted to one another. See, I love it when we come in here on a Sunday morning and you see all the gifts and talents that are available in a church like this. You come in and you have the kindest people on our First Impressions team. You get into this space right now and you see the talented musicians. You see the talented singers. You drop off your kids to Riverside Kids and you see these loving teachers. But can I tell you right now, in 2024, in the culture that we have right now, the devil isn't scared. The devil isn't scared of a talented church. I'm telling you right now, the devil is scared of a talented church. The devil isn't scared of a church that uses all their giftings. No, the devil isn't scared of a talented church. The devil is scared of a united church. The devil is scared that when men and women of God come together from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different issues, but they come together and they say, I don't know what's going to happen. And they're united in thought and purpose and they're led by the Spirit of God. Anything can happen. Can I tell you, may Riverside Community Church be the kind of church that makes the devil shake in his boots, yo. Because we're united. We're devoted to one another. We forgive quickly. We love deeply. We move forward in unity time and time and time again. You pick up the story in Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. That sounds like a retirement community. He instructed them, scout, I'm going to live in Acacia Grove when I get older. Letty, I'll visit you in Acacia Grove one of these days. I love you. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Some of y'all just freaked out that you heard the word prostitute. It's going to get better. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. But Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate to Jericho was shut. See, what do we see here in the book of Joshua? We first of all see the promise of God's presence, but the second thing is we see the promise of God's protection. See, this was deja vu for Joshua. See, because Joshua, if you read early on in his story, he was one of 12 spies that were sent to scout out the promised land. And now Joshua was sending out two new spies. Joshua the sent was now Joshua the sender. And it's an incredible story when you really dig into this, because Rahab was a woman from Canaan who was aiding spies from Israel. What was she doing? She was essentially helping the enemy. She essentially was committing an act of treason. But the beautiful thing when you really study this text, when you really lean into it, that God's promise of protection was provided by a prostitute. God's promise of protection was provided by a prostitute. What does that tell us? It's a reminder that God will use unconventional people to do unbelievable things. I tell you that because some of you are in this space today and you feel like you're so far gone. You feel like, I've done too much. Michael, you don't know my story. God could never use me. God used a woman who sold her body night after night and became a part of God's story that we still talk about thousands of years later. If God can use a prostitute, God can use you. See, that's God's MO. As you read through the stories time and time again, as you study God's word, he will often use unconventional people. Abraham and Sarah, they felt like they were washed up, too old. God gave them a baby, and it ushered in the birth of a nation. We see Esther. Esther was an orphan. But Esther becomes a queen. Esther goes on to save the nation of Israel. You see our boy Moses. Moses was a stutterer, but he becomes God's person to speak, God's spokesperson. He begins to proclaim, he begins to prophesy. Moses was a murderer, but he goes on to be one of God's greatest leaders. If God can use broken, messed up people, God still has a plan for you and God still has a plan for me. See, what you think is your liability actually has the opportunity to become your legacy. Let me say that again. What you think is your liability actually has the opportunity to become your legacy. How do I know that? Because I'm a living, breathing example of that. How do I know that? Because some of you may be unfamiliar with my story, but when I was 19 years old, it was one of the darkest seasons of my life. Everything had fallen apart. Got done with my first 2 years of college, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Somebody had broken up with me, did not have a great relationship with my parents. All my friends had kind of fallen apart. I started to fall into drinking. I was a mess. I was a shell of my former self. I took 6 months to go visit my great-grandfather who lived in the UK, and there was this desperation, this darkness that overtook me. And can I tell you, there was a moment late one night that I almost wrote myself out of the scenario. There was a moment that I had made arrangements to take my own life, but then I had a miraculous encounter with Jesus, and my life changed from that moment. And I'm standing here today to tell you, where I was once suicidal, now I'm saved. God has given me a platform to tell other people. See, there are some of you right now that believe that what was your problem in one season is going to become your platform in another season. See, when you give your heart and life to Jesus, when he starts to clean you up, you don't stand here because you got it all together. No, you stand here preaching the word of God, trying to give encouragement and hope to people because I'm just a work in progress like the rest of y'all. The thing that God is doing in me, he wants to do the same in you. You're not too far gone. God still has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life. See, but some of you will never have the chance. You will never have the platform because you believe that the opportunity is overshadowed by the opposition. God, I thought, gave me an opportunity, and now it feels like all hell is coming against me. Some of you have been praying for things. You were praying for the job, and then God gave you the job, and now the job is too hard, so you want to walk away from the job. Some of you prayed for Christian community, and you got into a connect. If you connected with some of the men or the women of this house, but one of those people, because they're human, they hurt you. And now you just want to walk away from that Christian community that you once prayed for. See, some of you were praying for a godly relationship. And God brought that Christian man, that Christian woman. But now as you further go further and further in the relationship, you're so overwhelmed by the shame of your past. So overwhelmed by what you did. And now you got to have real conversations. And I'm just going to walk away. And now you're walking from the very thing that you once prayed for. And God is saying, keep going. Keep trusting me. If I open that door, keep walking through it step by step by step. See, we pray protection over our families. We pray protection over our kids. We pray protection over our lives. But dare I say, some of us have to start praying specific prayers over our minds. Because I don't know about you, but that's where the devil loves to come in. I don't have so many attacks on my physical health, but it's my mental health. If I'm not careful, the devil loves to remind me of my past. The devil loves to bring up the remnants of a life that I once lived. The devil loves to try to get me to a place that you ain't gonna make it. You thought it was bad at 19. Just wait what I have in store for you still to come. And the devil loves to get us in the darkness. The devil loves to try to get us to a place of depression. So many of you have been so kind. Because last week I shared, man, the week leading up to Easter was hard. It was tough. And some of you came up to me over the last few days, man, like, has it been a better week? Kinda. Because as I shared with our team Tuesday, it just seemed like I was sitting down and I was trying to get some things done. And my phone was just blowing up. There were texts, there were requests, there were things that had to be answered right away. And I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but the best way I can describe it is you're kind of in the ocean, you're in a pool, and you're trying to come up for air and you can't quite come up for air. Maybe feel that way before, like, I just need to take a deep breath, but I just can't quite get to the surface. That's what Tuesday felt like. And then I love to say that everything got better on Wednesday. And Wednesday, it was the exact same thing. Wednesday is my work from home day. I'm preparing messages. And I turned to Rach and I said, I just need a break from this phone. I just need a break from the distractions. He's like, what do you want to do? I was like, let's go to that fish and chips food truck in Morton. I saw some of y'all there. You were there, Shannon, that night. And we went there, and it was just like a time for Rach and I for like an hour and a half to just sit there and to just be in this place. And I didn't have to worry about the pressure and all this stuff. And, you know, I was here on Wednesday night, but you probably didn't see me. Because on Wednesday night, I just spent some time in my office. All y'all were in classes and stuff like that. Doesn't mean I don't love you. But I just needed some time, if I'm honest with you, with the Lord. Because I know my MO. My MO is just to keep going. I'll be down in the lower lobby and like, Pastor Michael, how you doing? I'm good, yo. Everything's so good. How are you? Come on, give me a hug. Yeah, come on. And I knew on Wednesday night I couldn't fake it. Because I felt that. So I went in my office. Y'all will never get to my office. I'm on the fifth floor. Pastor Josh and I, we talk about we're going to do the Amazing Race one of these days. I know I got to get in shape before I do the Amazing Race. I can't even walk up five flights of stairs, yo. Praying for God's favor over my life. I'm like stretching as I get up there. Sorry, cameraman in the back. And I got up there and, you know, for so long, so many years of my life, I would just allow the enemy to just run rampant in my brain. But the more I mature, the more I draw closer to Jesus, I know what to do. My two main things are I get in God's word. So I was up in my office, and there's just certain passages that I go to when I'm feeling all sorts of way, when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel scared, and I just get in God's word. And I follow up God's word by just spending time in prayer. And you're like, Michael, how long do you pray? You must pray like you're a pastor. You probably pray for 37 minutes straight. No, I don't. I would fall asleep if I prayed for 37 minutes. And I just spend time just talking to the Lord. And there's something that happens when you spend time in God's word and you spend time in prayer. Your situation may not change, but your outlook changes. There's just that peace. You know, when they talk about the peace that passes all understanding, I don't understand it, but man, I just have this peace. And I opened up my eyes, and the first thing that I saw when I said, in Jesus' name, amen, I opened up my eyes and I saw one of the walls in my office. One of the walls in my office, when if you ever make it up there, if you're ever brave enough and have strong legs and calves to make your way up there, I think we got a picture of what it looks like. When you get up there, since the very first Sunday, what we did is we have an incredible photography team. And every single Sunday, they'll take pictures and we post them on socials. And what we started to do the very first week is I would pick out one of those photos. And on week number one, I put that photo on the wall. And then I know it's there somewhere. They're working on it. Bless you guys. And then on week number two, I put a second photo up there. And now we're a little over 4 years into leading this house. And when I looked up and I saw all of these pictures that were there, 232 Sundays. I went back and I counted them, yo. 232 Sundays. When I looked back, I looked up there and I saw it was just a reminder of God's faithfulness. Some of y'all are on my wall. Some of y'all, I see you every single day when I'm up there. There it is. It was just delayed 92 seconds. This is my wall. And it started off small at the top, and now 232 reminders of God's faithfulness, 232 transformations, 232 reminders that God is with every single step of the way. And Michael, why are you showing us that? Because when you want to quit, remember why you started. When you want to quit, when you walk away, when you feel overwhelmed, I don't know what it looks like for you, but you go back in the journal, you go back to the beginning of the relationship, and you remember why you started, and you just keep going. Somebody needs to hear that. Just keep going. Just keep moving. Just keep trusting God every single step of the way. See, you get to Joshua chapter 3, picking up in verse 9. So Joshua told the Israelites, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. It was a harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up at a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. See, we see the promise of God's presence. Number two, we saw the promise of God's protection. And third and finally, we see the promise of God's provision. It's the promise of God's provision. See, this was a historic moment in the nation of Israel. For many of them, it was a do-over. Because what happened is that when Joshua comes back, originally, when Joshua was one of those 12 spies and he and a guy named Caleb said, "Hey, we can take it, no worries. I know it's a little bit overwhelming, but we're gonna go take the land." The other 10 spies came back and they said, "No, too many giants, fortified cities, we can never do that." And because of their rebellion, God said to the Israelites, a generation of Israelites, "You will never step foot into the promised land." And he says at that time, "Those of you that are 20 or older, that generation will die out before you ever step into the promised land." Now, all these years later, it was a redo. See, some of the people that were just getting ready to cross, the Israelites, maybe they'd heard about this. Maybe they'd even seen what had happened back in the day before they were able to cross. And what happens is it's now a redo. I know your parents and your grandparents may have failed, but guess what? It's your time. I'm leaning into you. I'm tapping you on the shoulder. See, can I tell somebody today, your family's history doesn't have to impact your family's destiny. You may have been born in it, but you don't need to stay in it. See, that generational curse that's been over your life, God wants to break it off so you can move, so you can take ground, so you can cross dry ground and step into the call of God, the promised land that he's promised for each and every one of us. Just keep going. See, the Israelites at this moment, as they're crossing the Jordan River, they have a tangible reminder of God's provision. See, you may not be familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. If you read Hebrews this week, you're going to read about the Ark of the Covenant in Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah, it's in the Bible, not just in the Indiana Jones movies, yo. And what you see that as they carry the Ark of the Covenant over the dry ground of the Jordan River, what do we see here? There are three things that are in the Ark. Number one is Aaron's staff. Aaron was one of Moses' assistants. Aaron was this man that was right alongside Moses. And when you read about Aaron took this staff. And when the Israelites were stuck under bondage, under oppression in Egypt, God speaks to Moses, God speaks to Aaron, and he says, "Now what I want you to do is take your staff and hold it over the Nile River. and the Nile River turns into blood. The next day, he says to Aaron, I want you to take that same staff, and I want you to hold it up. And there was like this outbreak of frogs just ribbiting all over Egypt. And he said, I want you to go back a third time. I want you to hold it up again. And there's this outbreak of gnats. See, all throughout it, those were three of the 10 plagues. And it gets so overwhelming to Pharaoh that he finally says, just leave. Just go. That's what the Exodus is all about. See, what did we see happen all the way back then? God provided an escape for the Israelites. He's the God of provision. Michael, what else is in the Ark of the Covenant? There's a gold bowl filled with manna. What is manna? It's when the Israelites had left Egypt and now they're wandering. God says, every single day, I'm going to provide you with food. Take as much as you need. What was God doing? God was providing them with nourishment. In exactly what you need. What's the third thing that we see in the Ark of the Covenant? The third thing that you find as you read through the text is you see that the Ten Commandments are in there. Ten Commandments, Moses, he goes up on Mount Sinai, has a crazy encounter with God. He's up there for 40 days and 40 nights while it's all going, while they're up there, all hell is breaking out in the camp. They're tired of waiting on Moses. And so what do? They take off all their jewelry and they start to melt it down and they fashion a golden calf. And all the Israelites who have been led by the one true God start to bow down to a fake God. And as they start to come down, as Moses starts to walk down, he sees what's going on and God is angry. God says, I want to destroy all the Israelites. But Moses interjects. He said, hey, God, will you just hold back your fury? Will you hold back everything that you want to do? And what do we see? God provides his mercy. See, as they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant over the dry ground, we see a reminder of God's provision. We see a provision of escape. We see a provision of nourishment. We see a provision of mercy. Can I tell you, I don't know who you are today, but if you are in a season right now and you're looking for a way out, God, I don't know how I'm going to end that relationship. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to walk away from that. Lord, I don't know what you have in store for me, but God, I know that you're the God of provision, that you're going to provide an escape for me. For some of you, you need the God that's going to nourish you. Some of you may need physical nourishment, but some of you, dare I say, you need relational nourishment. You need to get out of bed. You need to quit watching online and get around here other believers. Some of you need spiritual nourishment. You need to be in God's word. You need to spend time in prayer. Some of you need to experience the provision of God's mercy. You need his mercy. You're here and you're beating yourself up for what you did 10 years ago, 10 weeks ago, 10 days ago, maybe what you did last night. Can I tell you, he's the God of mercy. He's the God of provision. See, God tapped Joshua on the shoulder and he said, you will be the one to lead my people into the promised land. God started to give Joshua vision. And as you see him leading the Israelites across the Jordan River, you need to be reminded that vision from God will always lead to provision from God. If it's vision from God, he will always provide it. See, if it's truly a vision from God, he's not going to let you wait. He's not going to make you sit on it. If it's God's will for your life, he will always come through. Can I tell somebody today, you may be delayed, but you're not denied. You may be delayed. You might say, Michael, I've been waiting, and I believe it's a vision from God, and I've been waiting year after year after year. You may be delayed, but you won't be denied. God's with you every single step of the way. See, we have four pillars here at Riverside Community Church. Jesus is our pursuit. Generosity is our privilege. Serving is our priority, and people are our passion. People are our passion. That's not just about what it looks like, all of us who are assembled here today. People are a passion outside of this building, in our community. It extends all around the world. And see, it was about three years ago, right around Easter time in 2021, the Lord started to give me a vision that I was not expecting. The Lord started to speak something to me, and we'd walked through a season where a dear friend of mine was arrested. He was sent to prison, still there to this day, and it changed something in me, changed something in our family. And 3 years ago, the Lord started to give me a vision about what prison ministry could look like. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm not doing that. Look at me. Look at these arms. And I just remember day after day, the Lord continued to just speak it to me. The Lord continued to just mold what that would look like. And I thought originally, we're just gonna go in and we're gonna do a nice little tidy Bible study. We'll get some men, maybe some women, and we're gonna sit around a table and we're just gonna walk through the book of Ruth. I didn't know what we were gonna do. And as we started to go, the Lord took that vision next level. He's like, I'm not looking for a Bible study. I want you to do a full-on service. And I was like, well, what does that mean? He's like, I want there to be live worship. I want there to be live teaching. I want you to take a prayer team in. I want you to lay hands on people. I want you to build relationships with what this looks like. And I started to just reach out to different places in the area that I thought maybe that's where we could do. And if I'm honest with you, most of the time, people never wrote back. And I was like, okay, God, I misheard you. Good. And one day, just on a fluke, I reached out to the chaplain at FCI Pekin. Pekin's my home. And I thought, man, I don't know who that is. And I just sent a blanket email. And in just 3 or 4 days, he wrote back. And he said, I'm interested in talking to you about it, but you need to know, like, it's going to be a long time coming. See, in summer of 2021, pandemic still was having some ramifications, especially not only in communities, but especially in the prison system. Outbreaks were still very rampant, and but he said, I think we can make this happen. And over those months, since God gave me the vision, he started to unpack it. And okay, God, I'm trusting you. I know I'm hearing from you. There's confirmation after confirmation, and I stood on this platform in November of 2021. And I laid out the vision for 2022. Many of you weren't around back then, but it was around this three-part, the interior, the exterior, and the inferior. What was the inferior? It was prison ministry. We wanted to get around men and women who feel like I'm forgotten by society, too far gone. And I said, I believe that God's going to give us access. We're going to do a service at FCI Pekin. Yeah, let's go, bro. And over the last months that followed, I'd get questions about it all the time. What's going on with that? And I was like, nothing's happening. We're just kind of stuck. And in June of 2022, Bill Cox, one of our elders, Bill's retired from the Federal Prison Bureau. He and I sat down with the chaplain. This is June of 2022. And he said, things are moving in the right direction, but we still have some work to do. And so every single month, I said, can I just check in with you? And on the first of every single month, I'd send an email to Chaplain. Any news, what's going on? He's like, still the same. But I just kept trusting God. God never released us from the vision. And as we sat down that very first time, I saw that God had opened this door at FCI Pekin, because as Chaplain walked in the very first time, he looked at me and he said, you're Mr. Richardson, right? I said, I am. He goes, you were my son's third grade teacher back in the day. See you, Lord. And things started to just slowly, we were checking in, and last summer in August, started to do some training. Said we're getting closer, and what does that look like? Chaplain invited four of us to come in to check out one of the services that he does on Sunday night, and I was scared to death. Justin with his tiny arms was scared to death when we went. I love you so much. I love you so much. And we walked in there, and I wasn't quite sure what to expect and how they're going to take us. As soon as it was over, just these men started to come close to Bill and Pastor Sam and Justin and myself. And they introduced, they said, hey, this is my name. I'm excited for you guys to come. When are you coming? And we're like, soon. it was interesting, just the men I got to meet. I'm excited to see them hopefully again very, very soon. But one guy came up and he's like, "Do you get to go to Chicago very often?" I was like, "Well, every so often." And he's like, "I'm from Chicago. These are the restaurants you gotta try out." I didn't know I was going to prison to get a Yelp review that night, yo. I was like, "I'm gonna remember that." Another dude was standing off to the side. I know my time is gone, but I'm gonna land this plane, I promise. We got places to go. And another guy was standing off to the side talking to Pastor Sam, and he walked up to me and he kind of looks me up from head to toe, and I start to get nervous, and he's like, "You look like my drug dealer." I was like, "Bill, is that good? Bill, is all right? Is that the guy that put him behind bars? I'm okay." Okay. Dealer must dress ridiculous. You must be able to spot him from 17 blocks away. And I said, we're gonna be there. And we thought maybe by the end of 2023, and Christmas left. And I thought, well, maybe at the beginning of 2024, maybe they're in 21 days of prayer and fasting, we'll go here and it's gonna go. And it got silent. Gotta tell you, Monday, I was working on this message, talking about he's the God of provision, and I kid you not, I'm still growing in my relationship with Jesus. And I said, "If you're the God of provision, when are you going to open doors for us? We've had this target, April 15th. It's 7 days away, God. If you're such a good God, if you're the God that provided for Joshua and the Israelites, God, when are you going to provide for us?" And I kid you not. I kid you not. As I'm typing this on my computer, bing! I'm telling you, this was the email. "My request for next Monday, April 15th, has been approved. Those on your team that have been trained have been approved to enter the institution for the service that has been scheduled to take place from 6:30 to 8:30. 2 hours, because they heard about your boy. Please arrive at 5:45 p.m. so that we can screen everyone and make our way to chapel for the service. You will need your driver's license or state-issued photo ID for the screening. If you have any questions, please let me know. See you next Monday." Stepping into something really special. See, you may be delayed, but you won't be denied. You may be delayed, but you won't be denied. See, you need to know we're 32 hours away. 32 hours away to step into what I believe is the next chapter of Riverside Community Church. Michael, what's that gonna look like? We have the potential. There's 1,000 male inmates that are gonna be there. 1,000 male inmates that are detained. The average age is between 35 and 44 years of age. Most of them are sex offenses, drug offenses, weapons charges. The average sentence is anywhere from 15 to 20 years. 10% of the men that we're going to be ministering to have a life sentence. And when I met with Chaplain, with Bill, 2 years ago, he said, "Michael, the one question that every single man is gonna want answered, am I redeemable? Despite my past." See, Hebrews chapter 13, we started today. "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourselves." See, we're not just going to remember them. We're going to commit to them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to share God's word with them. We're going to share the redemptive power of a man named Jesus Christ. You may have been written off by society, but you are redeemed by God. You may have gotten to this place where you've been forgotten about people, but God says, "I'm fixated on you. I may have been abandoned by my loved ones, but God says, I will never abandon you. He will never fail us. He will never abandon us. So what do I need you to do? Pastor Sam said it this morning. We got to start small. They're allowing us to take a small launch team. I think there's probably about 9 or 10 of us that are going tomorrow night. 9 or 10 of us, we're going once a month through the end of the year, and then we're going to see God's favor and where we're going from there. But here's what I need. Not all of you can participate, but dare I say all of you can pray. And here's what I need. As you're walking out today, you're going to get a little card. And it says, FCI Pekin, on the third Monday of every single month at 6:30, I need people that are just going to join us in prayer. I need you to put this in your Bible, in your car, on your refrigerator, whichever one you use most. That's a Pastor John joke from back in the day. I stole that. And it just says on here, pray with us in partnering for God's presence, God's protection, and God's provision. See, can I tell you, when we walk into that chapel, it's never going to be about us. It's never going to be about Pastor Michael. Never even going to be about Riverside. We want the presence of God. That's what changes people. Words cannot change people. Messages cannot change people. The presence of God is the only thing that can change people. See, we need God's protection. What do I mean? I'm not scared to walk into that space, but I need you to pray for protection over those inmates. Because God knows what's about to happen at FCI Pekin. And God, I know God needs protection over those men. The devil's going to try to get them to argue with one another, to fight to one another, to be locked in solitary confinement. I need protection over our team. Because the devil, I know, is going to come against relationships and families and marriages. I'm not going to be surprised if tomorrow night my car won't start. We're going to pray for protection. And we're going to pray for God's provision. That he provides opportunities for us to minister to men like never before. Where they come up with an open heart and an open mind and just say, I'm broken and I'm a man in need of a Savior. So today, I would just ask you, if today, I thank you for your time. Today, if you say, Michael, I'm going to partner with you and I'm going to pray tomorrow night at 6:30. I'm going to put it in my calendar. If that's you, will you just stand up? I just need to know that I got some people with us today. I just need to know, because I'm excited, but I'm also scared, Bill. I'm excited, Angel, but there's some stuff in me. Patrick, we're going, bro. We're ready. We don't know what's coming, but we're going. And so here's what I need. I need your prayers like never before. Before you leave today, as you go out the sanctuary, whatever door you use, make sure you take one of these and partner with, put it in your phone, put it in your calendar. But I believe, listen, make sure you're back here next Sunday. I'm going to be back up on this platform. I'm going to share what God did. I'm expecting. And you want to be the first to hear about it. Next Sunday, I'm going to share what God did. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person that calls Riverside home. Lord, I thank you that you will never fail us, that you will never abandon us, that you're with us every single step of the way. I pray for my brothers and sisters right now that are going through hard times, whether it's transitions or trials or tragedies, Lord, that you would just remind them in this moment that there'd be a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit that would lead and guide and direct them and comfort them and give them hope. Lord, as we look ahead to tomorrow night, as we launch what we believe is the next chapter of Riverside Community Church, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us every single step of the way. I pray for our team as we go and we take new ground. I pray for the men that we're about to minister to, Lord, that you would open up their hearts, their minds, Lord, that they would come. Lord, I believe that there's so much greatness that's about to happen in a little chapel, Lord. We have big plans. We have big vision. Why? Because you've given us a big future, Lord, and we step in trusting you every single step of the way, believing that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Riverside, I love you.